What makes Sunday different from every other day for the believer? In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was observed on Saturday, the seventh day, in remembrance of the creation of God, and that was the day of rest. Not because he needed a break, he's God. But after the resurrection of Jesus, believers began to gather on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the day when they went to the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus and discovering that he had risen from the dead. And since then, believers celebrate the risen Lord on the first day of the week. Sunday is a reminder of the new creation, the victory over sin, the victory over death, and the rest that we now have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sunday is not just a day off of work, nor is it a lifeless ritual. That's not what Sunday is. It is a day that is marked by God's grace. It is a day marked with worship and spiritual renewal. For us, Sunday serves as the regular rhythm of rest and also relationship. A time to be refreshed by God's presence and reminding us of who he is and who we are in him. This morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, continuing in our study of the book of Luke, and we're going to read the first 11 verses, and it's going to show us how Jesus engaged on the Sabbath and how the way he engaged sparked both awe and also controversy. What happens when our view of rest and righteousness is challenged? What might Jesus want to teach us, not just about the day of rest, but about the heart of God? Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Again, I'm reading Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and I'll be reading out of the ESV this morning. It reads this way. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some of the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to him, to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. Thank you for the gift of this day, for the breath in our lungs, for the blessing and gathering of your people. Lord, quiet our hearts. Turn our eyes to you as we begin this time of worship. Lord, we rest in your promises. Your promises never fail. Your promises that give life and peace and hope. You have said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You have promised strength for the weary, grace for the brokenhearted, and joy in the morning. So we lay our burdens at your feet. And we say, have your way. Be glorified in our midst. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath with his disciples. And they're plucking heads of grain, rubbing off the husk with their fingers and eating the grain. Now, hopefully, as they were doing that, these religious leaders didn't just come busting through the stalks. Why are you breaking the law? That would be crazy. There's movies like that. Like, imagine if you're like jogging on a trail through the woods, and Elder John and Elder Frankie just bust out behind a tree. What are you doing on Sunday jogging? That's why you can't get to church on time. Go home, take a shower, and get to church. You would be thinking to yourself, shouldn't you be like preparing for service right now? Jesus and his disciples are going through the grain fields. And it says, but some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, have you not read? That's always a good way to start. What David did when he was hungry, how he entered the house of God and took the showbread and ate it and gave some to those with him. The Pharisees were not accusing disciples of stealing. There were gleaning laws. The poor and travelers were able to go through the fields and take certain things for their substance. Now, they couldn't bring tools with them and just go to town on someone's field. But just like in the book of Ruth, where you saw those going behind the people working to take some of the food, that was laid out in the law and it was permissible. what they were going against the disciples for was because they said in their eyes, by you plucking the grain and by you rubbing it in your fingers and eating it, it was the equivalent of harvesting. It was the equivalent of threshing and preparing food. And they considered that work. Elder Frankie read Exodus chapter 20, but in verse 8 it says, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. What the religious rulers were doing was actually called fencing the law. They were adding extra rules, other boundaries in the law to prevent people from even coming close to breaking it. Well, what's the problem with that? It almost sounds like not a bad idea. The problem with that is that it could lead to legalism. It could cause an extra rigor and be burdensome. Actually, it steals joy and it has you following the set of rules so strict. They were appealing not to God's law, but their interpretation of it. They had added layer upon layer of rules on God's commandments. And over time, their traditions became more important than the original intent of God's word. That's the problem. They had all kinds of restrictions, over 1,000 rules that they baked into God's law. Things like travel restrictions. You couldn't walk more than a half a mile or it would be considered work. So they didn't have those watchers that count your steps, which usually we're not walking too much. Those counters are telling you get up and move. It takes work for you to just count your steps in the course of a day. They even guarded against you potentially doing some work by accident, like don't even touch a tool. They even avoided basic medical care. Only medical care that was permitted was if it was you were about to die. So if Granny hit you up on Instagram and said, Sonny, I'm really sick, the question would be, to what degree, Granny? Because you live 3/4 of a mile away. Are you about to die? Well, I don't think so. Well, happy Sabbath. I'll see you tomorrow. Do you see how crazy something like that can get? It gets distorted. Elevating man-made rules and putting them on the same level of God's commandments will always come to you forgetting the essence of the law. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 23, and starting in verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." Jesus, when they ask him this question about breaking the law, this law that they made over time, says, "Remember what David did when the men were hungry? That showbread was there as an offering to the Lord, and it would be removed and then given to the priest, and fresh bread would be placed there." Jesus was pointing out that the ceremonial law does not supersede human need. He basically saying, what are you thinking? What are you doing? In another place in scripture, in Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, it has fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Jesus said in Mark 2, starting in verse 27, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And then he said something even bigger. "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is a stunning statement. What Jesus is saying here is, I have authority over the Sabbath. I am the one who made those things in 6 days and then the Sabbath. He is not here abolishing the Sabbath, but fulfilling it. He is showing them that the Sabbath was made for man and not the other way around. Jesus was reclaiming its original purpose of rest, to remember the mercy that you have, the purpose of restoration, to set aside time with the Lord. How often do we fall into these same traps? We create these systems and standards that goes beyond what God has intended. We value performance often above people. Jesus sees the heart. He values mercy, not sacrifice. The question we must ask is this: do our spiritual disciplines bring us closer to God and others, or do they isolate us in pride? You see, that's what was happening to the Pharisees. No, we tell you what you should do, and we're doing it, and you're not. That wasn't drawing them closer to God nor to people. And then we see on another Sabbath, Jesus enters the synagogue and he sees a man with a withered hand, and not just any hand, his right hand. You got to catch the details, right? Someone shakes your hand with the left hand and does it like a fish, that should be telling you something. Like, unless you tell me something was wrong with your hand, you were being disrespectful. So it meant something in society, along with the fact that your right hand was the hand that you would generally use for work. I'm not saying anything against left-handed people. I happen to be left-handed. But it mattered. So this man is there with this withered hand, and he can't work. And it says that the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, watched Jesus, to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so they might find reason to accuse him. Just think about the irony in this. They are in the house of worship. And other people do this too. But instead of looking for God, they're looking for fault. I don't like that we do that. Well, she didn't hit that note right. Why is the pastor crying? What did he do this week? All kind of stuff goes through people's minds. The Pharisees had reduced faith to fault finding because of their self-righteousness. But it says, Jesus knows their thoughts and ours too. And he tells the man, he makes this public, stand up right here in front of me. I'm not going to hide what I'm about to do. The man didn't ask to be healed. Jesus noticed his condition. And he was going to challenge them publicly. He says, he poses a question to them before he does it. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or harm, to save life or to destroy it? That was a powerful question, because guess what? Doing nothing in the face of need is never neutral. Doing nothing in the face of need is making a statement. And the statement is, I don't care. The Sabbath is not a day to ignore human suffering. This was what Jesus was bringing out to them. Actually, it's a day to restore what is broken. We always pray for those that are lost to walk through this door, that are suffering, and to be restored. That's why we're here. Church is to make disciples. But all of us, even his disciples, need restoration, realignment. And for the one that's lost, we desire for Jesus to fix what is broken. After looking around at them, he said, stretch out your hand. And he did. And his hand was restored. Jesus didn't touch him, but they considered that work without Jesus even lifting a finger. His power and his compassion was on full display. And how did they respond? A miracle has been done. Look at the power this man has to restore. Maybe he is God. No, they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Instead of worship, they chose wrath. Through legalism, their hearts were hardened. The very ones who who were there saying, "I am protecting the law," were planning to murder Jesus right there in church. Let's not fall into a trap of dead religion. Let us follow the Lord of the Sabbath by choosing compassion over criticism. See, so we think when we sit there and we're talking about, look at that dress you have, and all, no. See, when we read these stories, we make ourselves the hero. Instead of the one that's got all this crazy stuff rolling around in our heads. All of us have been guilty of this. Compassion over criticism, mercy over legalism, healing over hardness of heart. When we care more about the rules, we miss the heart of God. The Sabbath is not about restriction. It's actually about restoration. It's about healing the broken. It's about receiving rest for the weary. It is actually the shadow of the rest to come when we find Jesus. Come on up, worship team. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. We find our rest in him. The Pharisees made the Sabbath a burden. Jesus makes it a blessing. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. We find our rest in him because of what he did on the cross. He declared, "It is finished." The key of understanding how Jesus is our Sabbath rest is in the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to rest, to stop, to cease from work. What work? Work for your body? We are not God. He is. Stopping reminds us of our limitations. It calls us to put our trust in God for our needs. We are called to cease work, to stop, to be refreshed, because our rest is necessary. When we don't stop, when we are on 24/7, we're saying, if I don't do it, it won't get done. So what do we put in our trust in? We're putting our trust in effort, what we can produce. We're not putting our trust in the one who keeps us. He calls us to rest. But it's not only our physical bodies. It goes beyond that. Leaders, you can come up for communion, and ushers, you can get ready. The various elements of Sabbath symbolizes the coming Messiah who would provide a permanent rest for his people. This example of resting from our labors comes into play. The Old Testament law, where the Jews were constantly laboring for what? To be acceptable to God. Their labor included all of these do's and don'ts of the ceremonial law, the temple law, the civil law. was impossible for them to keep it. So they went time and time again, laying their sacrifice on the altar. Blood sacrifices, the only thing that would cover over sin. But it was temporary. What Jesus is saying when he says, "I am Lord of the Sabbath," saying you don't have to keep these rules and regulations anymore because I am your rest. Find your rest in me. We're going to take communion. Communion is for the believer. It actually symbolizes the rest that we find in him because of his finished work. It symbolizes the rest that we will one day have when we are on the other side of eternity. If you are not yet a believer, please refrain from taking communion. But if you are God's child, whether you are in a mountaintop experience or in the valley, you may be struggling with all kind of things in your life, sinful things. As you come and take the bread and the drink, sit back in your seat as the song is played. Speak to the Lord. Be transparent with him. You are his child. He loves you. You are accepted in him. See, that's what the Pharisees failed to understand. It wasn't going to be performance-based. But as we read earlier, God calls his people to holiness. We come up short, but we present that to him. We ask for forgiveness. We look to turn around by his power. And he forgives his people. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So come on up as the ushers instruct you and receive the bread and the drink and bring it back to your seat. Now come up and we will take communion together. Amen.